Berlin-based newspaper Welt am Sonntag writes, a German official sounded the alarm warning of serious electricity shortage in the country and across the region. Rolf Tissler, president of the German Federal Office for Civil Protection and Disaster Assistance, said, "We have to assume that there will be big blackouts in winter." Tissler said, "We have to expect blackouts in winter. By this I mean a regional and temporary interruption in the power supply," adding that the power cuts were due to both energy shortages and temporary shutdowns of the entire grid to protect the entire network. The official further added that he was referring to short-term power outages, so-called brownouts, rather than larger-scale blackouts. Tissler warned that the situation could potentially reach a critical point, urging Germans to scop on food, water, and other essential supplies. Tissler said, "The last couple of years have been really tough for Germans," adding that the COVID-19 pandemic served as a prime example of the unforeseen effects of a crisis. Tissler pointed out the coming years are yet to be more challenging in light of the worsening climate situation and other serious and geopolitical tensions. He said the saddest part of the news was the European Union at the confederal level denies the hardships that normal people were going to face in winter. In related news, a major German grid operator told media in early October that the country may be forced this year to cut its electricity exports to other countries in order to survive in winter. Hendrik Naumann, chief technical officer of German electricity grid operator Amprion, told the Financial Times about potentially cutting off electricity exports to other countries to avoid local shortages. Naumann said in an interview that temporarily pausing exports of electricity for hours rather than days could be a last resort to salvage the country's embattled energy crisis, which has been in the eyes of the storm since gas supplies from Russia were cut. France and Austria are the biggest importers of Germany's surplus electric power, whose energy crises could deteriorate with any switch off of German exports. Naumann said the Ukraine crisis was one of the numerous overlapping issues contributing to Europe's energy crisis, worsened by the shutdown of over half of France's 56 nuclear power plants and low water levels on main rivers delaying coal shipping. Germany's government decided in September to postpone the decommissioning of 2 out of 3 nuclear power plants in the country, saying it will keep the 2 plants running until at least April. Germany shut down 3 nuclear reactors in 2021, and shutting the remaining 3 would officially mark the end of the nuclear phase-out for domestic energy production. In the meantime, the Russia Today Daily reports national grid operator RTE warned on Friday, November 18th, France faces a greater risk of running short on electricity in January because the availability of the country's nuclear plants will probably be lower than previously forecast. RTE, which has been issuing updates of the situation on a monthly basis, also noted that decrease in the demand for power is making a shortage next month less likely than previously expected. RTE claimed the situation appears less risky in December and from the end of February, but the month of January now concentrates more risks than in the previous analysis. Grid operator Electricité de France earlier warned that repairs and maintenance on almost half of the nation's nuclear plants may turn France, which has traditionally been a power exporter, into an importer this year. France generates roughly 70% of its electricity from 56 nuclear reactors. However, it had just 31 of them online on Friday morning, November 18th. EDF has plans to restart 15 units by the end of the year, with another 10 in the first 2 months of 2023. Some other reactors will have also be stopped for scheduled maintenance. The French government has called on businesses and households to conserve energy to avoid blackouts. In the event of a possible electricity shortage, RTE will launch an eco-watch red alert 3 days in advance, demanding reduced consumption. RTE says the risk of resorting to eco-watch system appears high in January. The grid operator warns it will largely depend on climate conditions such as a potential cold snap or even a moderate one. Furthermore, France Press News Agency writes, the price of electricity in Germany, France and Italy for 2023 has soared to new records due to the European energy crisis caused by the ongoing conflict in Ukraine. In Germany, the price of electricity for the year ahead reached €850 per megawatt hours in the stock market. The year ahead contract in France's bourse market passed €1,000 on Friday, November 18th. Compared to last year's price, €85 in both countries, the year-ahead contracts in both countries' markets indicate a stark rise in energy prices. Soaring energy prices coupled with runaway inflation have put the livelihood of Europeans under heavy constraints after the Europeans severed their energy ties with Russia, the main supplier of natural gas to Europe, over the Ukraine conflict triggering a dire economic crisis on the continent. The shutdown of several nuclear reactors in France due to corrosion issues has contributed to the electricity price increase as power production has dramatically decreased in the country. Also, Italy's oldest consumer association, ONC, reported on Thursday, November 17th, electricity prices in the country set an all-time record in October. Prices for electricity, which is being sold in the Apennine on the free market, have surged 329% since October last year and topped the ONC rating of the most expensive goods and services. International flights followed power tariffs with an annual increase in cost equaling 113%. Gas was the next in the ranking, with prices surging more than 96% compared to last year. Since the start of Russia's special operation in Ukraine in late February, Germany has offered substantial military support to Ukraine, sending the country billions of dollars in military aid and heavy weaponry. Russia has in turn cut off gas supplies to Europe, causing a worsening energy crisis. Germany, along with other European Union countries, is scrambling to support homes and industries burdened by a further surge in energy prices.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
And God said, let there be light, and there was light.
The Creator made Adam in his image, then placed the world in his care. May you walk alongside the Creator in righteousness.
God of Abraham, take my child into thy hands, that he may live to thy service.
God has spoken to us before, through Abraham, Noah, Moses, and through Jesus Christ. Why should we be so surprised that God speaks to us now through Muhammad?
Viewpoint.
A critique of movies with religious themes on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God. Welcome to another edition of the program Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jad, hosting this program. And in this series of programs, we are trying to criticize movies with religious themes. And it's a couple of episodes some time ago that we have started criticizing the movie Father Stew, produced in 2022. Onward, of course. With Sister Asma and Brother Sayyid Abdullah. Sister Asma, assalamu alaikum, welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum assalam, and thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And Brother Sayyid Abdullah, thank you very much, and salam to you.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh, it's a pleasure being here.
You're welcome. Well, let's take a listen to a short part of the movie Stew, produced in 2022, directed by Rosalind Ross. And then we'll be back with his question and his critique. Stay with us.
You look tired.
Give me a second, man. I'm out of shape. And you're black.
I thought you were an athlete.
I'm going to take five. Sub in for me. Let me catch my breath, man. Hey. You want in?
Does it look like I want in?
I'm trying to rise above here, man.
Priest is penitent, not playful.
How you think Moses lasted in the desert 40 years? He must have been in shape. Priest got to be prepared.
I don't suppose Jesus appreciates your mockery.
God gave us a sense of humor, so we use it.
I don't know how to play, all right? Father didn't see the point in teaching me sports. I was always going to be a priest.
Back to the program, Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio. We are trying to criticize the movie Father Stew, produced in 2022, directed by Rosalind Ross. Sister Asma, there is a conversation between Stu and his classmate in the seminary about how a priest should be like, especially in shape, physically speaking, as well as being penitent. Is it really necessary for people of God, such as clergies or priests, to do sport, first of all?
Is it necessary?
Yes.
Well, I think it is. My personal point of view says yes, they have to.
Why?
Because, against the cliche, they must go against the cliche, because the idea, I think that is too, was telling the idea of the ordinary people. He was standing with them that, okay, it's enough with the priests that they are so serious and so looking like solid and not doing anything except they do some spiritual rituals. I guess they have to be more active, some sort of like the ordinary people do, have some attention to all parts of life, like activity, like, I don't know, having a simple conversation with other people or doing the same as ordinary people do. I guess that's a need for all the clergymen's priests, whether it be priest or other thing.
I'm saying that because in that conversation, Stu refers to the ability of Moses.
Yes.
Prophet Moses, when he's talking to his classmate,
his
basically. To survive in the desert for 40 years. So basically, a man of God needs to be like in a strong form and body, right?
Yes, in order to serve difficult situations.
Yes, and also the other question that I wanted to ask you is that do priests or clergies or people of God, need to have a sense of humor, because they also refer to it.
Yes.
And Stu has it along,
he has
all along
a
this
very
movie.
Good one.
Yes. So why? Why do you think that clergy needs to have a sense of humor or to be funny?
Because you saw him when he went to that prison. When he was talking to people, they understood him.
Mm.
I don't know why some of the clergies or the priests or just, as you said, people of God, they have this language that has to be of, in a way that nobody understands you.
Mm.
Why you don't put it in a simple manner so that everybody can understand
you? I understand that the message they're trying to get across to people is so heavy. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm talking about the content, the message that they are trying to convey to people from God, like the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, the Quran, whatever, right? So it's very much serious. But can it come with... along with a sense of humor?
Yes, of course.
Like,
why not?
Wouldn't it be paradoxical or
no way. No.
Contradictory to some extent?
No, it would never be. As Justice Du said, God has given us a sense of humor, so we can make use of it. And also, we have it among our great characters in Islamic heritage, that many of them have got this sense of humor that would add to your sweetness, would add to the sweetness of your language, of whatever you're going to convey to other people. So I think even those angelic people who are coming to talk about God, they could use some sense of humor in order to make their language get to the heart of the audience.
Right.
Because as we are talking like this conversation, a real conversation, ordinary one, would not take so much of pompous words or conversations or things. We are just talking in a normal manner. So this sort of speaking, which has got some sweet humor, would be more interesting for the audience.
Well, that part of the movie where they are referring to, for example, a sense of humor or, let's say, a physical, a strong form or body, you know, or shape, reminds me of the characteristics of a clergy. So how do you expect, or what do you expect the clergies to possess, you know?
Of physical abilities, you mean?
When it comes to, characteristics. Like the traits. What traits do you think should clergies possess?
Yes, Father Stu after conversion. He would be a good example of a clergy, of a good clergy that we have in our mind.
We are not talking about only priests, huh? We are talking about like all religions.
Like the men of God.
Yes.
So I would say they're just like the ordinary people. They do have some activities in their life, just like ordinary people do. Maybe
they shouldn't be proud, for example, like they think that they are God's gift to mankind or something.
Exactly. And they are the direct link to God. They shouldn't be so puffed up of what they are. And so simple, just like what we have heard in our heritage, how our prophet was. He was so simple, so down to earth, and his language was soft with every single person he talked to, and with full manners.
Mm-hmm, I see. Thank you very much, sister. Let's take a short break by listening to another part of this movie, Father Stu, produced in 2022, directed by Rosalind Ross. And then we'll be back with its critique. Don't go away.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Back to the program Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio. We are trying to criticize the movie Father Stu, produced in 2022, directed by Rosalind Ross, with Sister Asma and Brother Sayyid Abdullah. Sayyid Abdullah, you know, there is this priest preaching, and he says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life." Of course, he's referring to the Gospel of the Lord, John 3:16, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
Does it refer to Jesus' resurrection? Well, what does this verse mean?
No, so the verse talks about pre-resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
Because it says God gave himself to wash man of their sins.
Yes.
So that's him being on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
So that's prior to his resurrection. So as a person, you need to believe in Jesus Christ so he could relieve you of your sins, because he already done the deed. He already got crucified for it.
Yes.
The resurrection happened after 3 days after Jesus'
being crucified, he was resurrected, and then he went back to his father.
Mm-hmm.
But prior to that, that's what this verse is trying to highlight, the fact that in order for you to be accepted, you need to be relieved of your sins. In order for you to be relieved of your sins, you need to go to Jesus Christ, because Jesus himself has washed you out of your sins. So he accepted your sin and he gave his blood for it, kind mm-hmm. of thing. He gave his life, sacrificed his life for your own sins. So accept him, you'll live for eternity. So it's a pre-crucifixion.
Yeah, but the thing is, my impression was, you know, out of this verse of the Bible that they are referring to, or they quote, is the salvation of only Christians, not the other, for
yeah,
example,
so you have
religions.
To...
Because the verse literally says, like, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish.
Yeah, that's what Christianity is all about. It's yes. about you either accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior or perish in hell.
Yeah.
So there is no way to heaven except through Jesus Christ. That's the Christian ideology.
Yeah,
it's
that's
based
the
on
tenet.
That, it's
yeah.
based on that notion that either you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior or perish in hell.
Yeah,
there is no other way around it. So that's exactly what this verse is trying to state. But the verse itself is not stating the fact that Jesus Christ is the only Savior, Lord and Savior. But they're giving you a reason to why he is, because he sacrificed his life for you.
Mm.
So you should come. Why? Because he gave his life for you, man. Just come.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they're trying to pave the way for people to accept Jesus because he sacrificed himself.
Mm-hmm.
So as a normal person who doesn't have a faith, and that idea might become appealing. Okay, you know what? I got sins.
Sorry to interrupt you. But in that part of the movie, I guess he was just giving that allusion to make that woman understand Carmen. He was talking about sacrifice. The sacrifice that the girl did and the sacrifice that he is going to do mm-hmm. through his priesthood.
Right.
So he was just giving a hint to the girl, I guess.
I mean, he was trying to get her to forgive him.
Yes, he was talking about forgiveness.
I agree with the sacrifice part you said.
Yes.
Because this is what all the priests say, you know, like Jesus Christ actually sacrificed himself for the sins of humanity so that he could shoulder all of their sins.
Yeah. But what the sister is talking about, that even she said to him, using spiritual blackmail or something?
Yes, spiritual blackmailing.
Blackmail. Yeah, because, so I think that was the thing that he was trying to do. But I think that wasn't the aim of Stu to begin with. He's like, yeah, I expect you to. And then she said to him, dude, we follow the same God. You know what I mean? Like, leave it alone. But the idea, like, that verse itself as a verse, if we take it out of the movie itself, like, we're not concentrated on but the events around it,
mm-hmm.
that's exactly what they're trying to say, that Jesus is your only way.
Yeah.
He's the only path.
Exactly.
And
this is what they say.
If you don't accept him, you're
salvation
damned to
are only
hell.
Christians.
Yeah. You have no salvation.
And apart from this part, just, you know, as a reference to the resurrection, because this principle was brought up, you know, we know the resurrection has different meanings, of course, that the resurrection that all religions believe in, that there would be doomsday or everybody is resurrected. That's a different thing. But this resurrection they are talking about, like in Christianity, would you just shed some light in just a minute?
And resurrection?
Yes.
So, okay, Christianity believed that after Jesus Christ was crucified, he spent... some time on
Three
the cross.
Days,
yes.
Then he was buried.
Mm-hmm.
3 days later, some of his disciples...
The Good Friday.
Yeah. Some of his disciples have saw Jesus Christ out of the grave.
Mm-hmm.
Like he was out of the grave, and they got scared. They ran away from him, and then they created an entire story.
And they went back to the grave, and they... You know, they didn't see the body.
They did not find Jesus Christ himself. So they said, okay, Jesus was resurrected.
Yes.
But did he get in touch with any of the people? No. Has anyone seen him being resurrected? No. Actually, we asked the question, has anyone seen him being buried? No.
No.
So, yeah. So, but then again, we have this
and
in our
what
story.
Do Muslims believe in resurrection? Like,
Isa alayhi salam, he was never crucified.
Yes.
Jesus himself, he was never crucified. Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ وَلَكُنْ شُبَّهَ لَهُمْ. They did not kill him nor crucify him, but he was they got someone who was a lookalike.
Lookalike, yeah.
So what happened, the story prior, one of his disciples, he went to the governor of his time. He kind of created a problem.
Yeah.
They came to kill Isa alayhi salam, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took Isa away. He replaced him. The same one Allah
the betrayer.
Saying, the betrayer, he was turned into Isa the traitor, yeah. They caught him, he's the one that was crucified. Yeah, as exactly. Isa himself, he got away with it.
Okay, thank you very much, Sayyid Abdullah. Thank you very much, Sister Asma, for your nice answering the questions or explanation that you gave for the critique of this movie, Father Stu, produced in 2022 in the program Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio. Thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Food for thought. Hello everyone, and since people in the West are on the threshold of Christmas, which Christians believe to be the birth anniversary of Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, we hereby present you a thought-stimulating statement from the virgin-born Messiah, as recorded in the Gospel of St. Barnabas, about the coming of the last messenger of God, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. O blessed time, when he shall come to the world, believe me that I have seen him and have done him reverence, even as every prophet has seen him, seeing that of his spirit God gives to them prophecy. And when I saw him, my soul was filled with consolation, saying, O Muhammad, God be with you, and may he make me worthy to untie your shoe latchet. For obtaining this, I shall be a great prophet and holy one of God.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
the child of the border.
Part 2.
The picture of my mother hugging me wholeheartedly. A child born in the border tents of the Iranian Red Crescent. I am the child of the border. My name is Najiba. I studied psychology, but my main interest in filmmaking led me to study cinema directing at the Iranian Youth Cinema Society. I am concerned with the troubles of Afghan refugees. I go to them to document their life story. They were not and are not financially motivated. They believe that empathy and cooperation go beyond nationalities. In the management of their venture, they resort to the same method. Isfahan Handicrafts Market is one of the main markets in Iran. Mr. Afzali has his own shop here and sells the items produced in his workshop. I used to work in this workshop as a teenager. His craftsmanship always fascinates me. He wanted his workers to continue their studies. He read a lot and asked everyone to raise their awareness, as he believed that the misery of Afghanistan is the low awareness of its people. Every new tension in Afghanistan spurs a new wave of asylum seekers on to move to Iran. Some of them enter Iran illegally to use it as a springboard to head to European countries. Iran is at the receiving end of the fight against illegal immigrants to Europe. These people cause trouble for the security state in Iran, people who are not registered anywhere and have to accede to the worst conditions to reach their goal. Children are victims of this vicious cycle. Children who have to endure countless injuries and join child labor gangs. The Welfare Organization of Iran is in charge of supporting these children. Sadaf Welfare Center is one of these centers that operates in Mashhad. Here, Iranian and Afghan working children live together and enjoy similar facilities. After providing basic conditions and empowerment, the center strives to return the children to their families. To keep undocumented Afghan children out of harm's way in Iran, Iranian leader Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei ordered their registration in public schools without needing to provide residency permits. By itself, this very decree has changed the lives of many such children who'd otherwise be recruited by illegal child labor bans. Moreover, Afghan children with disabilities are admitted in special schools just like their Iranian peers. There is no discrimination in their education. Right from the beginning, an asylum seeker fights to maintain the minimum of living standards. Being challenged and endurance overshadow their entire livelihood. Preservation of life, family, identity, and hope help the asylum seekers keep going. The spirit of resistance remains alive in them, and they try to convey it to the future generations. Mr. Ahmadi decided to learn the recitation of the Quran professionally, in addition to casting and sports. He went to the main center for teaching Quran recitation in Iran. At first, he thought he might be frowned upon in the center because of his religious differences. Mr. Ahmadi became a master after 9 years. He holds Quran teaching sessions for the children of asylum seekers. He believes that interfaith culture should be taught to children. Most Afghan refugees who come to Iran follow a different religious sect than the official Islamic sect in Iran. Asylum seekers need to be able to hold their religious services in complete freedom. Are there no problems for asylum seekers in Iran? Well, of course there are, but some problems have legal roots and some have economic ones. The Islamic Republic of Iran has been subject to the most severe international sanctions in recent years. These sanctions have created serious economic problems for the Iranian people, as well as Afghan refugees. Speaking of the cultural commonalities between Iran and Afghanistan is a limitless topic. From ancient rituals to religious rites, from music to architecture, from literature to handicrafts, they are so intertwined that I have to highlight the differences rather than the similarities. I have come to visit two blind sisters, Mariam and Salimeh Gholami. I was utterly astounded by their determination. They are Afghans, but were born in Iran. I cannot believe that these items are their work. I'm curious to know how they did it. They cannot see what they weave. Only we see the beauty of their art, and they get pleasure from us enjoying their work. Every year, a book is published from the collection of exquisite works of Iranian handicraft masters. Mr. Afzali's works can be seen in all of them. Mr. Afzali is known as one of the leading artists in Iran. He has trained many students, some of whom have gone to European countries. Every time I look at his works, I see my lost identity. Asylum seekers are victims of a mess they have no part in. They have no choice but to leave their homeland. They give up their identity in the hope of saving their lives and those of their family members. An identity whose absence nettles them. But they keep on and build their new world, either alone or with the help of others.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. Welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. I invite you to be with us. because today we're going to speak about the behavior and social interaction of a believer.
I pray to God, my heart, soul, and body, every single day of my life, with every breath. I solemnly promise to try to live my life for you. Oh, Allah, you did revive my soul and shone your light into my heart. So please leave you, is now my only goal. Oh, I love you so, I love you so.
Today, Friday, is the 28th of Jamadi al-Awwal, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 2nd of the month of Day, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 23rd of December, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is Chapter Al-Furqan, verses 73 to 74, which we'll listen to, and then we'll learn about some points about it.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم والذين إذا ذكروا بآيات ربهم لم يخروا عليها صما وعميانا.
And those who, when reminded of the verses of their Lord, do not fall upon them deaf and blind.
والذين يقولون ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما.
And those who say, Our Lord, grant us from among our wives and offspring comfort to our eyes, and make us an example for the righteous.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
In the verse 74, the 12 attributes of real believers, which is paying social attention to training and education of their issue and family and for which they feel seriously responsible, is mentioned. Certainly, such people have no stone unturned in training their issues, and they're making them acquainted with the main principles and positive laws of Islam and path of truth and justice, and when having no way and no choice, they ask Allah the Merciful and pray.
My life is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. You are the light. Guides me through my darkest nights. Shows me right from wrong and right. World that often lies, cause I don't need anyone, anything in life, but you know I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
Again, we're gonna learn more about the behavior and social interaction of a believer. The human soul is in need of developing educationally in order to become characterized by the best of morals and refrain from evil doings. This can be achieved by teaching ourselves and teachings of Islam. One of the best ways to learn is following in the footsteps and copying the examples of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, his infallible household, Ahlul Bayt, and the most righteous among his companions. Studying their biographies and considering all aspects of their virtuous behavior are essential ways of being led on the right path.
Thank you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The topic of our discussion today is about the code of conduct for a Muslim. Imam Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to one of the companions, if you come to Abdullah, another companion of him, and say to him that Ja'far ibn Muhammad, that is Imam Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself, yeah, he says, tell him that Ja'far Muhammad says, try to glorify and magnify whatever made Ali alayhi salam, the first Imam, great in the eyes of the Holy Prophet, before the Holy Prophet. So take them into account and glorify those elements and factors. And force yourself and try to obligate yourself to do those actions. Definitely Ali alayhi salam, verily Ali alayhi salam, the first Imam, reached to that level or degree in the eyes of the Holy Prophet through trust and truthworthiness, honesty. So we see how beautifully Imam transmits this message to another companion of him. Just first and foremost, to inform him and warn him, and second, to tell us in the history, in years and let's say centuries later, that these two important factors made Imam Ali alayhi salam great in the eyes of the Holy Prophet. There are too many other factors, or let's say elements, that we like to discuss and talk about, but since the time is almost over and the time is approaching its end, we have to finalize our discussion and wrap it up here and deprive ourselves from other, let's say, points that we wanted to mention and talk about, that is one evasion from the fame, or let's say escaping from the fame and taking a good care of the family, which is another, let's say, trait and characteristics of a believer, and too many other factors that I cannot enumerate all of them at this time.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
When we look at Muslim code of behavior, good intentions is one of the most important one. No matter what we think, Allah knows everything. The deeds that we perform are rewarded according to the intentions behind them. If we want to become a better Muslim, we should learn to do things only for the sake of pleasing Allah and not for pleasing the people. Those who perform good deeds while having a wrong intention in mind will just be wasting their time, as Allah knows what is in the heart. As Muslims, we all know the importance of prayers. We should never miss any of our daily prayers. Other than that, we must also recite Quran, as Prophet said, read the Quran, for verily it will come on the day of standing as an intercessor for its companions. Different episodes of today's special, we have looked on the social behavior as a good believer. One of them is a relationship with other faith. In the view of Allah, the whole of humanity consists of one single community. As in the Quran, chapter 2, verse 213, Allah says to the one community of humankind, Allah sent prophets as bearers of good tidings, as a warners, he sent down to them the book with the truth so that he could judge between people. Three facts emerge from the ayah. One, the unity of all humanity under one Allah. Two, the distinctiveness of the different religions brought by various prophets. 3. The role that revelation, the book, plays in resolving differences that occur between people. The Quran does not deny the variety of religions, nor that contradictions might exist between them regarding beliefs and practices. At the same time, it emphasizes the need to recognize the oneness of humanity created by him, and the need for all to work towards a better understanding between the followers of the different faith. The universal message of the Holy Quran thus reveals that without subordination to any limited historical and cultural context, revelation accepts religious pluralism as a necessity. This affirmative principle of diversity is the cornerstone of the creation.
Imam Zain al-Abidin says, Wallah, by Allah, لو أن قاتل أبي الحسين, if the murderer, the one who murdered my father Hussein, gives me the sword, tells me, keep it with you, I need it the day I want to murder your father, and he comes back to me, I'll give him the sword. The sword that he's going to kill my father with it. I am honest. I'm going to give him back the amana. This is amana. This is amana. This is religion. This is faith. Fulfill the amana. Fulfill the trust. Fulfill the trust to its own people. Do not overburden his friends. Some people like us, they expect people to help them. When the time comes for them to help, they don't help. They are only on the receiving ends, mashallah, recipients. But they are not donors. They don't give. They are only consumers, but not producers. They expect people, the community, the family members, the friends to help them. But when it comes for them to pay back, to help, we have to pay back, my friends. We have to pay back. I admired some of you here who are volunteering their time, their effort, their intelligence, their money, their health, contributing that to Ahlul Bayt and Islam. Those are true people. Those are true. When we say to Imam Hussein, Ya laytana kunna ma'akum fanafuzaf, I wish I was with you on the day of Ashura. Many of us, we lie. We lie. Even if God resurrects Imam Hussein and we see the day of Ashura, we decline. We tell him, sorry, I'm busy with my business. I have many things to do. But very few, they stand true. They stand true to their covenant with God. They are volunteering among you here, among you. Many of you are volunteering your time, donating your time, contributing your time, your money, your health to the service of Islam. And I am very proud of you. This is the difference between someone who dedicates his soul, his life to serving God, and someone who's selfish. He doesn't even help any person. He receives, but he does not give. That person, I don't think the highway for paradise is open for him or her. God does not give his paradise majan, free to all. Innama tujzawna, God says, we reward you, ma kuntum ta'amaloon, your contribution here.
That was all from today's special. Inshallah, we continue this topic on the next episode of today's special by IRIB English Radio. Till then, we leave you in Allah's protection. Fi amanillah.
Crazy, who you praying for? They told me there is nothing, who you looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, 'cause there is no hope. Just come.
was behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes, I was mesmerized. But deep inside I know that there's a better world. 'Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.